Blog Talk Radio.
Something that drives us, something that is bigger than ourselves.
Are you kidding me? Did you really just come at me like that? You will be eliminating the people that just don't have no business coming in your direction in the first place by the way you carry yourself, the way that you speak, and everything like that. So all you're doing is eliminating and inviting the correct people in your life.
No.
We want to hear the difference.
Where do y'all want to go with this? You're talking children, you're talking relationships, you're talking all kinds of things, and it blows my mind, man. Listen.
Air Friday night, the 12th of July 2013. The Man Up Show is on the air. Hello, everybody. My name is Big D. Dal Harrington here for y'all tonight. The Man Up Show is on the air. Now, on deck, Eddie, are you there?
You know it. You know I'm here, man. What's up, baby?
Mr. Edward L. Fairley is on the deck for the night, everybody. Give it up for him. That's my man. All right. Naz, you on deck tonight?
I am on deck, man. What is good? Feeling all right, baby.
That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. The Man Up Show is on the air. Gentlemen, how y'all doing?
Man.
What's up, baby?
All right, gentlemen. First, does anybody have any updates, you know, that they want to share with our audience this evening before we go into tonight's topics? Eddie, I know you've had a big week this week, so I mean, why don't you share with everybody what's going on this week?
Well, this week I found where the studio, where the actual To the Root of It TV show will be recorded. Took some pictures and posted on the Man Up Talk Show fan page. So pretty excited about that. The phone, the pictures from the phone don't do the studio justice, man. I'm really excited about that. I had an excellent session with NASA. I'm not sure if you all know that I landed a training job with NASA to help them with their communication. It's like they have a breakdown in their communication out here at NASA, where, you know, some people aren't feeling respected, some people aren't feeling understood, and it's my job to clean all that up to help them build their morale and their communication relationships within that company, so that they can just have a better work environment and better relationships within their, the building, so that these planes and stuff that they're building don't blow up on y'all because they was mad on the day that they built it. it's just been a wonderful week. People have been seeking me and finding me and setting up meetings and wanting to invest in projects and stuff of mine. And I got different producers and stuff of other companies and TV shows and stuff hitting me up and wanting to be a part of the project. So I'm kind of interviewing people to just continue to grow my team. And that's pretty much it, if not enough. we do have the actual date of the first recording of To the Root of It. The television show will be recorded on August 19th. So,
okay, August 19th. Y'all, okay. How do you get tickets and ticket information?
I'll probably be sending stuff out on the fan page, and I also will be looking for guests and stuff to be on the show, so be on the lookout for that in regards to potentially being a guest, as well as just coming to be in the studio while it's being recorded on our fan page.
Well, that's great. That's what's up. Mr. Naz, how's your week going so far?
It's cool, brother. I mean, you know, doing what we do behind the scenes, man. Just trying to keep stay on focus with the Man Up Talk Show, pushing that initiative, the movement per se. Working hard, trying to make Shadow Wars Radio a national household name. You know, I got a chip on my shoulder. I'm ready to do a takeover. So I mean, that's going good. The Game Strong pilot previews is kicked off pretty well, very well. We go into our first official week of the season, working with the Regional American Sports Network. The show on Monday, we'll be interviewing Mr. Clark Thompson. He's a sports photographer. He does a lot of stuff for colleges throughout the tri-state and the East Coast. We'll be interviewing him, and we'll be also interviewing Eric Brown, the owner of the New England Soul Football Organization. He'll be on that. He's been following the show, and then, you know, he has a potential person that might step into the Man Up zone and be part of the convo. So he talks about that. So he's doing a lot of great things with the community, him and his organization. So we appreciate the love that he's given us from Massachusetts. So, you know, the movement just continues to grow, man. You know, it all ties together, and I'm very proud and very honored to be working with so many great men and women that just believe and doing something positive instead of the negative stuff, you know. So I'm very humbled and blessed to be around great people.
That's it. That's what's good. Are we making that personal appearance tomorrow at that football game or not?
I'm looking over tickets behind the scenes because I'm not going out in the rain rather than no audio equipment and DJ equipment. We don't do that, but right now we finally getting this rain in Jersey, this New York area.
No, we get electrocuted. We're not getting electrocuted. I said I know we're not getting electrocuted, but I mean, are we still going to make it?
I'm monitoring the weather, and I'm waiting for a call back now. But like I said, the gentleman will call me back and get clear because I'm not going out there to the city trying to shut us down, and I'm fighting with the local PD, and we're pulling out badges, and I'm waiting on the call back tonight, so we should be confirmed. But just to give you a quick FYI, at Roseville High School, there's a game tomorrow between the New Jersey Bravehearts and the Flinton Generals. It's called the Tracy Puccini Bowl. This is the sponsor of the New Jersey Bravehearts, the lady and her husband, and at least 5 years of supporting that team, donation, sponsor, helping young men stay off the streets, doing something positive, through playing sports and helping their community. She helped my team, the New Jersey Battle, when I had some years ago also, and this is basically a spillover from that. So, you know, we're very glad that they was on to ask to come out there, be a part of what they're doing. But we're weather permitting, you know, we're not sitting out in the rain or thunder. We will not do that. we won't do that. But we will support and show love. So I'm really excited about this topic because, it's a good one. I think me and Dad talked about the first part of it, Brother Eddie, brought it on. So I'm very interested to see how this goes.
I am too. Now, before we go on and get into tonight's topic, there is a young man that I've known, well, since birth, but that's besides the point. James, he's a local activist. He is involved in his community of Irvington, New Jersey, and also he's been in Cali. Been to the left, he's been to the right, and tonight he would like just to hang out with the Man Up Crew because we're gonna be running the Man Up Crew. We're gonna be running folks through us to see, you know, if they can hang with us this evening on tonight's topic. Tonight's topic happens to be, well, the first one is what's your code, and the second one is friends and acquaintances. I would like to introduce to y'all one Mr. James Eady.
What's going on?
That's Edward.
Enjoy the small things, gentlemen. Enjoy the small things.
Yes, sir. Edward, lead us off, sir, as you could most eloquently do.
Topic is what code you live by. Pretty much what we're saying is everybody makes their decisions in life, decisions and stuff, based off of a particular code. Mine in particular, I go in a chronological order. God, family, business. I'll explain that more in detail a little later. But everyone, their decision-making process is based off of a lineage of codes or different things that determine their values and the decision-making in regards to their life. So what we're trying to figure out is, what is your code? A lot of people, you know, they live by a certain code. They might be Crips, Bloods, whatever it is that makes their decision making happen. They live by a certain code, and we're just trying to pretty much hear and get ideas as to how people make their decisions and what their life is based on in regards to their life code, if you will. And that's pretty much it. So if you guys have a life code or something that you guys want to share with us that we should even consider as a people when we make our decisions and life choices, we would love for y'all to call in on the line as well. And we'll definitely be looking to see if anybody's calling in to share, because this is a great, great topic. And we find that a lot of people have different ways of making decisions and life choices. So we would love to hear you all's opinions in regards to this topic. So Yeah, I'm excited about this one.
Yep, our number is 646-478-4507. That's 646-478-4507.
Okay.
So, okay. James, since you're our guest, what do you have to say on the topic of, you know, what's your code?
Common code. Like how somebody going to live their life, right? You know what I'm saying? The decisions that we make and morality and ethics and your family values and all that other stuff, how that plays into every decision that you make.
What's your life code? Yes, sir.
My life code is doing the right thing, bro. I mean, just doing the right thing. The right thing isn't always the right thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's about more ambiguity more than anything else, because we live in a time where more, you know, it seems as if, like, you know, the good die young. The, you know what I'm saying, the bad man gets rewarded, and the ethics of not only the country but the world is just like, you know, screw you, I'm out for mine. And I don't partake into like that right per se. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you don't live here by yourself. You don't live on this planet, you know what I'm saying, by yourself. It takes all of us. So it's hard for us to sit there and be good people to each other, you know what I'm saying, and really connect on that level, whereas we just sit here screwing each other over. I'm sorry if that didn't make any sense.
No, that CC ain't got nothing to do with this. You can say it like you want to.
Oh, all right, I could dig it. No, I wasn't just saying. Either way, it's like, you know, it's like, what's that, Fast Six, I don't know if you guys caught it, or any of the Transporter movies, and it's, hey, you got a cold, or my personal favorite, Omar from The Wire, you know what I'm saying? Man, gotta have a cold. And it's like, you know, I grew up believing that, you know, if you do the right thing, and you do the right thing for the right reason, then everything should work out.
I got a question for you, man, Jay.
What's going on?
Because I know she said do the right thing. Do you not feel that people that are doing whatever it is that they're doing, they don't feel that they're doing the right thing when they hustling? You don't think they feel like they're doing the right thing? When they rob because they ain't got no food or whatever, you don't think they don't feel like they're doing the right thing when they join the gang or whatever to have a family or whatever and do whatever it is or get initiated to be a part of something, you don't feel like they're doing the right thing?
I didn't judge any of those judges. I ain't toss any of those judgments out there, bro. I said in the beginning is that it basically comes from the values that you're instilled. See, being a father, one of the things that it taught me is that it's all from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like each and every one of us, each and every soul that hits this earth is its own entity. And what that soul sees and what that soul goes through pretty much determines whatever it shapes that person's entire life. So whereas me personally, I grew up, I have both my parents, whatever, what have you, my dad worked, my mom was here, they stayed married for 30 years, and, you know, my dad was a minister, so it put me in a different perspective and in a different light as to somebody who, like, you know, parents weren't there, they've been in their system their entire life and all that other stuff. I mean, I can't sit there, what's right for you may not be right for me, and I'm not going to judge you for what you feel is right for you.
And I'm glad you said that. The reason why I asked you that is because you said you're making a broad statement by saying I do what's right. And that's all I'm trying to get you to do is elaborate on what you mean by that, because I think personally when people do things, they feel like they're doing what's right. Sometimes they do things and they know it's wrong, but for the most part, people live their lives and do the things. Even the people that we look at and consider them doing the most ignorant stuff, they think they're doing what's right. When people say I'm not selling out, I'm wearing my clothes a certain way, they feel like they're doing what's right. So all I'm trying to get you to do is elaborate on what you're saying, because that's a broad statement to make. I live by doing what's right. I need you to go a little more in depth than that.
But that's the thing. It's my judgment. It's my ideals and what's right based on my foundation that my parents put before me.
And that's what you're here for, to help us understand your ideals so that we can pull from your perspective and get different ideas. And that's what I'm saying. I'm missing that if you just tell me that you you just do what's right. The whole point of us speaking is to share and go more in depth as to what it is that we feel is what's right, or how we make our decisions based on this code that we're talking about, so that others can pull from that and make a decision. So for me to say I do what's right, you know what I'm saying? I really don't know what you're saying, and I'm trying to figure out what you're saying so that I can better understand my way of life, your way of life, Nas' way of life, everybody else's way of life in regards to
people. You can't understand anybody else's way of life, though. I mean, that's
the
not
point
the life that you is.
That's why we're talking. I'm trying to understand your way of life right now. That's why we're talking right now.
And I explained. I was like, you know what? I grew up with both my parents. My father was a minister. I went to a half-decent school when the system was half-decent. As far as the foundations that were set for me was that, hey, like, what would Jesus do? What would God do? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I have a very strong, you know what I'm saying, religious and spiritual foundation. So whereas me personally, like, I'll see something that, you know, I don't want to sit here and compare myself to, like, Jesus or anything else like that. But as far as I'm within the course of my life, okay, you want an example? Got an example for you. I'm 31 years old, right? I have a daughter, but my daughter's adopted. And when I was about 14 to when I got into a real serious relationship, not until I got into a serious relationship, had I even considered having a child. Now, nowadays, these kids run around here and just, like, you know, slam dance anything that's moving, put a baby in any kind of, put make babies together, and then, you know what I'm saying, it's just like, fuck the kid, and they're going to be that kid. Now, that kid, that soul that they put here on earth is now, they're subject to a life unlike, you know what I'm saying, anything anyone else can go through. So, it's like, so to as me, my foundation is that of, yeah, you do the right, you walk closer to God, you know what I'm saying, you try to do everything, like, you know, whereas you can feel, you can look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, when I will have you, regardless of which way it has to go, regardless of which way which decision that you make, regardless of how anybody else sees it, it's on how I see it. Can you dig it?
So basically what you're saying is, based on your upbringing and your foundation, what that foundation and upbringing was is what your decisions on doing what's right is based on. And I... based on what you told me, your foundation was, and supposed to receive that as that is the right way to go?
Just more along the lines of, how do I put it?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Not screwing people over. You know what I'm saying? Not, if I sit there and tell you something, if I say something to you, that's what I said to you, and you can trust me 20 years down the road, I'll say the exact same thing to you when I will have you. And that's not to say people's feelings can't change, just saying that I am who I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, if I make a decision, I follow through with it, regardless of right, wrong, or indifferent. At the time, my situation, all of my experience leads me to believe that my choice is right.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's a matter of not going with what everybody else says. Not going like, okay, like, yeah, so, like, just because it's right to them right there doesn't mean it's right to me, because of the foundation that was instilled in me. Because my father used to whoop my ass. So, and, you know, a lot of kids don't get that nowadays. I mean, I got beaten. I mean, we talking about, like my friends would put chairs up and get popcorn because my father would give me a beating with the window open. But I never think about calling CPS a day in my life. Why? Because I knew the situation was way worse over there. I was willing to take an ass whipping. And I think that, you know, if we had more kids out there getting beat and having fathers that cared enough at least to discipline them, then, you know, we'd have a little bit more structure. We'd have a little bit more stability within our own community. Hello?
No. You got anything to add to this debate?
Oh, this is
not
bad.
I'm listening, but no. I mean, I'm
following. I ain't lose your audience, did I, D?
No, we here, brother. We here. We here. We here. I want to do some input. I was in my input. I mean, you know, I hear what he's saying. So you're saying, like, you know, I follow where Eddie was going with this. You're saying that basically from what your family's instilled inside of you, that's kind of your core at that point. Is that what you're telling us?
Right.
Okay.
Like, it starts from that. It starts from that moment you open your eyes, that moment that any child opens their eyes, everything that happens to that child, the situation, like, if they got both parents, if they don't got both parents, it all matters, everything, because that child at that moment, I'm like, not to diss anybody's kid, but the kid is stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we're born, we don't know shit. All we know is what we see. All we know is what we interact with. All we know is what we hear. We pick up on that, and all of that goes to form who we are, what we take on as moral obligations, what we feel is right, what we feel is wrong. What did you get disciplined for? What didn't you get disciplined for? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, now, I got you on this one. Now, but that kind of sounds wild. I mean, if you had to break it all down, like, I gave you three words from you. You said your parents gave you, everything you got from your parents. Your parents gave you all these values and all the stuff, the code to live by. If you had to break it down in three words, or better yet, one, what would those three words be from your parents?
That's a great question, Nas.
It is.
I'll kill you. That is the three words from my parents.
the three words of what?
You said what three words from my parents? What I say?
Yeah.
Broke it down.
If you could define basically what Nas is saying, if you could define your code of living in three to five words, what would you say those words are?
Like, okay, for an example.
No, I got you. Can you live with yourself?
Okay.
Can you live with yourself with it? You know what I'm saying? But can you live with yourself? That's five words.
That's not three words, man. That's a statement. That's a statement. We're saying three to four words that would define what your code of living.
Honor. Integrity.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And fun.
And fun. Honor, integrity, and fun. Okay.
Okay. You just narrowed down your parents. Like, you did it. For me personally, I think, honor, that's it. I mean, that's it. Straight up. That's it. That's my basic. You can wrap around many topics from that one word. That's me. Honor. It starts from there. You got to have honor when you're praising the Lord, the God. You got to have honor in raising your family. You got to have honor in what you do. You got to have honor in everything. That's just me. I wrap myself around that one word. And if somebody disrespects the honor, then discipline is moving.
I mean, that's the thing. Honor's really confused with what's the name. It's confused with, like, Asian, like, like, oh, my family, the honor,
I ain't jabbing myself, but, I ain't taking myself out to the Japanese. I ain't, you disrespect my family, I got to kill them now. I ain't, Eric Carey crap now. I ain't fighting out there like that, I don't do jail. I'm good with that. But no, I think the topic is interesting about the code, because I think a lot of times people don't understand what type of code we live by. I'm from the streets, I have a code. Like, really, bro? Seriously? You live by the street code, okay.
People say that they're loyal, but they're only loyal to themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I'm loyal to my man. Come on, now you sound like a new idiot.
I don't really have a beef with somebody living by this quote-unquote street code. I have a beef with people who think they're living by a code and don't even understand or really have a defined code. It's kind of the same. And if you don't have a defined code, you're all over the place. Matter of fact, Sig and I were talking earlier about companies and businesses, and I told her I don't understand how companies or business can have a company or business without a mission statement. Without a mission statement, you're making decisions that are just broad because you're not making decisions that are aligning with a vision. Your mission statement is pretty much your vision,
right,
which you're trying to accomplish. So if you're just making business decisions to make business decisions without making sure it aligns with a specific thing or an objective, then you're just making random decisions that might not be progressing your business or your company. If you don't have target goal in mind, then you're just doing stuff. You might as well be in a rocking chair, moving without moving. You're just doing a whole bunch of rocking. You're real busy. Me and Sig was talking about that earlier today. A whole bunch of you that's really so busy, and you ask them what they did, and they didn't really do anything productive. You're just moving, but you're not moving. You're not progressing. So I don't have a problem, the street code or whatever, because I took a lot of my quote-unquote street code and brought it to the business world, and I killed in business. It's what you do with the information that you get. So I can have a foundation that's jacked up and still come out good based on the decisions that I make. So it's great that you can have all the decisions and foundations, but that doesn't make you who you are. The decisions that you make based on the experiences that you have is what makes you who you are. Because my foundation could be all jacked up, and I still decide that something's not right about this, so I'm not going to continue to go on this path. So that's why I wanted you to elaborate on what do you mean by that, because people are listening. And you might say that on a platform like this, and somebody think that, oh, okay, well, I just follow my parents. But if your parents are drug dealers, if your father is a minister or pastor, but he's stabbing chicks like my father, is that a great definition of the person that you're supposed to be following just because he's a man of the quote-unquote cloth or whatever, or because you got two parents at home? That means absolutely nothing. So that you need to make your decisions based on, for one, what aligns with your spirit and your heart or whatever, and whether it just feels right to go that way. A lot of people disregard that voice, that inner voice, and they make a decision and just because they want to be in with the crowd or because they want to please their flesh. And that's just not smart, because that does not get you to your destiny.
Right, so.
Brother Ben, now, I need a chance to hear your input, brother.
All right, here we go. Let me put in my two cents real quick. for me, now, and you know how hard this is for me just to put in two cents, but okay. Okay, here we go. It's God, it's family, it's community.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Three things. First and foremost, the God that created me. Like I said, nobody else, not any of you, not anybody who's listening to us, nobody who was born before or will be born after has a heaven or hell to place me or any of us into. Point blank.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. God created us for a reason and for a purpose. And whatever his divine purpose is for my life, whatever direction from which he guides me, that has to be my number one priority above all else. Whatever he wants is what I do. To the best of my discernment, that's what has to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, it's about the family. It's about my kids. It's about my parents. It's about my cousins. It's about, you know, my aunts. It's about my uncles. It's about, you know, the lady that's to become my wife. It's about, you know, it's about the family that not necessarily are you blood related to, but they are as close as family to you.
Mm-hmm.
That has to take some sort of precedence. And then after that, it's community. Because, you know, we go by that old African proverb, it takes a village.
Mm.
You know, I mean, many of us, you know, had single-parent homes. Some had two-parent homes. I remember back in the day, if, let's say, me, Naz, and a couple of our friends were doing whatever it was we were doing, and we happened to be doing something we had no business doing, not only did we get our behinds destroyed where we were, but we got our behind
the
store all the way home.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
You know, we got it from all ends, left, right, up, down, because everybody cared about everybody else's child like it was their own. Now, I mean, I think that we took a step back and a step away from that, and then that's our fault. You know, some of us still have that same heart for their fellow man. Jesus put it best. He said, you know, to, you know, love the Lord thy God and put no God before him, and love thy neighbor as you love thyself. You know, when you are looking out for the hood, that doesn't mean you're looking out necessarily for the ghetto. Your hood means your neighborhood. It means where you're from. It means your neighbor. It means your people. It means your brotherhood. It means your manhood. It means your fatherhood. That's what it means. You need to look out for those who are around you and those who you love and who love you. So those are the things that I look for. I feel in the way. That's why we're all in this. It's because, like I said, we see way beyond just ourselves. If that was the case, we'd be doing something totally different.
Check this out, cousin. The man is like, I'm sitting here talking about, like, yeah, like, I'm, like, you asked me about my situation, about my cold, about what I've gone through, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not sitting here equating what anybody else has either, you know what I'm saying? I said that in jump. I said that from the beginning. Like, yo, I can't speak for anybody else's struggle. I can't speak for anybody else's journey. But then you're like, well, you know, you're being vague. Okay. So deal is that you're right. You are 100% right, brother. You know what I'm saying? It's about the individual. Like, that's why I said that baby, that soul, as soon as they open their eyes, it's about what they go through. It's about what they experience. You're right. There are so many successful stories of people that came from nothing, like people that came from less than nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, like, they was on a respirator when they were born. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got people, like, that haven't, like, you know what I'm saying, that have sat there and defied odds. I mean, if you pay attention to any kind of sports, there's always a story of somebody just coming back and, you know what I'm saying, and winning championships or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it's me personally, what I get mine from is what I've experienced, which is I have my parents, everything else like that. You know what I'm saying? What you get yours from, you didn't have any parents. You know what I'm saying? Rock out. You know what I'm saying? Knock that out. You know what I'm saying? Because that makes, guess what? Without that, without having that, that makes you stronger than me. Because I had mine. Can you dig it?
Okay. All right. First off, there's no right and wrong in your code. So I don't understand how you can tell somebody that they absolutely right about how they live and kind of adopt it with everyone else.
No, I wasn't saying that he was right about how he lives.
I sat and listened to 76. You know what I'm saying? You can at least hear me talk about at least about other words. There's no right or wrong in regards to a code. But where you came off as vague, so you say, is we asked you exactly that. What is your code? And we still left not knowing what your code is. So we just asked you. We kept on asking you, and we were failing every time, what your code is. And quite frankly, we still don't know what your code is because we still left with honor. We're left with you know what? I disregarded it. I lost it. I don't know what your code is. All I keep hearing you say is about seven words, and then you know what I'm saying. And I try to put on my decoder ring to figure out what that means.
Sir, I have apologies, but this is like my first time doing this, so I'm not really responding at it at the moment.
And answering questions.
This is your first time doing this.
It's a conversation. That's all this is. We're asking each other's questions and we're answering questions. If this is your first time doing that, you haven't been doing much in 31 years. We're having conversations.
Okay.
What is your code? What do you live by?
I really don't think this is going to, like, work out, because this dude is being very, very insulting to me right now. Because, my man, I did nothing, absolutely nothing to insult you. You guys asked me a question, and I thought that I apparently did not answer it to your liking. And then when I answered the question, you decided not to listen to me when I said my three words. Okay, so every time you guys ask me the question, I answer the question. I do not appreciate you sitting here treating me as if I'm a child, treating me as if, in your 31 years, if you don't know how to have a conversation.
You told me,
are you kidding me?
This is your first time.
Come on,
this is your first time doing it.
This is my first time on this radio show having a conversation with any of you outside of D. So that's what this is my first time doing. And honestly, I feel as if my answers are good enough. And if you don't feel like my answers are good enough, then I'm sorry. I apologize, but you can move on from there. We can move on.
Hold on.
We're done.
Hold on.
Calm down, everybody. Calm down.
I'm calm.
All right.
Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Like, really?
Gentlemen. This is the Man Up Show.
Exactly. So I'm not going to be talking to you as if I'm a boy.
Relax, everybody, relax. Matter of fact, gentlemen, we have a caller online. Caller, would you like to address the panel? Caller? Well, I guess this caller would prefer to listen.
Prefer to be observant.
Yeah, listen, guys.
It is the Man Up Show, and we're going to disagree, and that's the beautiful part about what we do. We're going to disagree, Brother James. Me and Eddie disagree, Brother Dad and Eddie disagree. The biggest picture is coming to understanding. You know, and that's the beautiful thing about being a man. A man is a man enough to say, hey, look, I can agree to disagree with you. It's okay. It's not an issue that you're coming at my manhood. It's an issue that, you know, I disagree. And you stand up for yourself. I appreciate that at the same time. But, we can disagree. Because you ever been in a barbershop, guys are arguing with each other, your team is ass, or you're just going back and forth. It's just a difference of opinion in how you perceive or how you are receiving information, or however you want to interpret it. This is how you deal with that, hopefully by the end of the conversation, we all can come to a better understanding. Because sometimes, I don't agree with everything that he says all the time, but always at the end of the table, in the conversation, we want to say, you know what, I'm going to disagree, but I see where you're coming from. It gives you another, and that's part of our conversation, it gives you another vision or another way of looking at things in life. You know what I'm saying?
Jay,
hear me out. This is Eddie. I'm talking. I apologize. I was intentionally trying to force you to communicate something. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to be in the show, I'm going to make you grow. And that's out of love. That's not out of disrespect. That's not out of hate. This is all out of love. You will know how to communicate whatever your thought is before you stop being a part of the season, the man up, or whatever. This is issues with the men and period today. And that's what happens. That's how you get frustrated if you cannot relay your message. And that's what is so frustrating. And I've shared this whole example with the men on the radio before. If you encountered someone that spoke a different language to you and you could not understand what it is that they were saying when you asked them for directions or what have you, more than likely what we would do is raise our voice and ask the same question when they tell us that they don't speak English. And because it's frustrating to not be able to get a message across. And what I need you to do, I need you to be able to eloquently share whatever it is on your heart and your thoughts so that people can understand you. This is a platform where people are listening and potentially taking the things that we say and making life decisions, drastic life decisions, I might add. So if you're making broad statements that they can potentially take away and use for harm, I am going to address it, and I'm going to force you to make sure you clear and clarify to the listeners that are on this radio show as to what it is that you are trying to say. Because from that, I need to know if I can allow the listeners to walk away stupid or walk away better people. And I know damn well I'm not going to allow them to walk away stupid. So I am trying to give you, through the best of my ability, you the opportunity to make sure that they know that you are there to build them up and understand how to be better people, potentially from the way you walk your life or by experiences that you got from other people's walks of life. But broad statements will not cut it on this show because we are intentional where we are here on this show,
yeah, so
and we
are
about building.
Eddie, please, just, you know, for the next 10, you got 10 minutes.
in his head, by all means.
Okay.
Give me my code. Give me your code.
The code that I live by is God, family, business, and then community. Basically what I'm saying by that is when I say God, that means whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do that without having to consult with my wife. I might tell her what it is that God told me to do and what we are about to do as a family, but it's not something that I'm putting on the table for you to negotiate and say, oh, well, babe, I don't really think that's a good idea. It don't work like that. The hierarchy is, and it's understood that it's God, family, business. So if God told me to do something, I told you it might make you feel uncomfortable based on the decision that that he told me. I'm going to make that decision. Then family. So basically what that means is if my job tells me, hey, I need you here, but my wife or family needs me somewhere else, I am not consulting with my job. I'm letting you know I'm not going to be here that Friday. So you need to make a decision as to what it is that you're going to do because my wife needs me. She's in the hospital or what have you. I remember that actually happened about a year and a half ago. My wife ended up in the hospital. I was telling my boss, hey, it's not looking good. I'll probably be out for the rest of the week. And she's like, well, I'm not sure if your vacation time and your FMLA works like that way. I said, oh, I'm sorry. You thought I was asking you? Let me explain something to you. God, family, business. She said, what do you mean? I said, God, family, business. That is the way I make my decision. I make my decision based on God first, then family, then business. I said, if you haven't noticed, your business, you're under my family. So I'm not consulting you. I'm letting you know I'm not going to be there. So y'all got to figure out what you all are going to do. Then it's business. So that means when it comes to ministry or community service or something like that, if they ask me to do something in a time frame that I have to work, I'm going to tell you, nah, I can't make it. And that's not me really consulting with you. I know, but, Eddie, we need you. We love your motivation and your passion. That's great. But you guys aren't paying my bills. So, again, God, family, business, ministry or community or whatever. So I make sure my decision will be made based off of my business or my job, and then I'll make sure that community comes into play, and everything else is pretty much miscellaneous. So that's how I make my decisions, and I walk through life and know that I'm on the right path to going wherever it is that God has intended me to go, because first of all, God is at the top. So God is going to tell me where to go, and from there, I just make my decisions accordingly. So that's it.
Okay. All right.
Man, what a great first hour. I don't know about the rest of you, but I had a blast, me personally. Now,
I did too.
I see that, yes, we've had some tempers flare. We've expressed ourselves verbally with great verbiage. But for the next 10 minutes, we're about to take a little musical intermission. A little stroll down with the arms and we're gonna deal with friends and acquaintances. Our girl Stig is on the line. We gonna pop her in as soon as we come back from this break. But, you know, right now, everybody, you know, relax, have a nice cool glass of water, and let's enjoy this musical interlude. And when we come back, We're gonna jump right into friends and acquaintances. Sound good, gentlemen?
It sounds excellent.
Sounds excellent. All right. Once again, let's get that done, brother.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm telling you, this has been great stuff. This is great stuff. Now let's get into this musical interlude. Here we go. Let's do it.
Shadow. Make a move on, and if I don't let you know, be. Man, was you with me? I was so greasy. You had my heart from the start like Cupid, and I was just downright foolish and stupid. But now I know the reason for the pain and the headache. You left me all alone, now watching you even concentrate. I guess I wait for the day that you come back, because my heart is where your love is at. You got me twisted.
Because, you know, I think the misconception personally for me is
That's my friend. Just because you were friends 20 years ago or 30 years ago don't make that necessarily your friend now. You know what I'm saying?
True enough.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's no disrespect. It's no hating. Man, you changed. No, but I grew up. You know, I just don't do some of the same things that we used to do. Or if they, you know, you guys doing your own thing, you got family, you got your family. You know, you just don't worry like that no more. But y'all still cool. I mean, you know, you can't put a city call a friend or now have that trust transformed to the queen.
Absolutely. Let me chime in on this. I'll use me and you as a classic example. We were tight when we were younger. When we got a little bit older, we went to our left and to our right. There was no beef, no animosity. We were cool, but were we tight like that? Nah, we were acquainted. We know who each other is. Now, as we've gotten older, we got back together, and you know we're as cool as peanut butter and jelly again. You know what I mean? So you could go back, forth, back, you know, and it's, like I said, there's no disrespect, but you just have to know how to label a fool.
But D, I mean, my thing is, isn't that kind of part of the problem is like tossing labels? I mean, if that was your man 50 grand back then that's your man 50 grand back right now, then isn't that your man? Wasn't he that in between time, even though, like, yeah. Life happens, man. Like, yo, you grow up in situations. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all ain't sitting there smashing the same shit. Y'all ain't sitting there living the same life. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. But like I just said, you know, there's no animosity. There's no, you know, there's no beef. There's no transgression. But are we involved in the ins and outs of our day-in, day-out existence? If the first, are you the first person, if I think about, are you the first person on my speed dial when it goes south? When I'm like, all
ain't
right,
that your wife?
Go, you jump in there, huh?
Ain't that your wife, though?
Well, absolutely, but there's some things, okay, you don't want your wife to jump into.
Are you talking about
the fist fight? Brother, what term of lock and load didn't we just understand? Lock and load.
You're talking about getting some gangster shit. Oh, all right. That's a different story.
If we about to go in, if we about to go deep, I ain't taking my old lady with me for sure. You know, you leave the women and children at home. You know, so who's going to ride with you in those dark moments? You know, it's those precious few that are on your speed dial for that type of mission, that's your boys. That's where, you know.
I ain't always promoting drive-bys
like,
on the Man Up Show.
All right,
that's what it is.
We're going to promote the drive-bys, brother. We're going to do that, bro.
You know, like, you talking about some wild
shit. Let me ask you a question. I mean, I'm definitely hearing you, Brother James, and I'm hearing you, Dean. I know Brother Eddie got something on this one. Is there, I mean, I know what the Webster Dictionary says about what a friend is. You know, you got your... I mean, really, what is really a friend? I mean, let's just break that up. I know people have their own perception of friends is, you know, like James said, you may grew up with them, they're putting in the sandbox and all that, but when you get older, you know, your man's missing, man, I need you to throw me $200. But yeah, your wife is telling you, hey, listen, you know, me first, but you need your man and you need your wife. You see what I'm saying? What is friend? I mean, what is the terminology of friend? And it's true, if you don't give it to your friend, is he going to say, oh, man, you would have done that 10 years ago if you wasn't with her. I've heard dudes actually argue over stuff like that before. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can help me out, guys. What is a friend to each one of you? I mean, what is the terminology of a friend to you?
Edward?
Eddie Wop. Eddie, you going to get it?
Oh, yeah. Nah, yeah. Whoever want to go first, I'll come in later.
Yeah, I mean, what is a friend to you guys? Because I need some understanding. So, we're completely different.
You know, honestly, as far as a friend goes, whatever a friend is just someone that looks out for your best interests. Regardless of the situation, regardless of, you know what I'm saying, like, yeah, no matter what's happening, you know what I'm saying, no matter what they could gain out of it, it's like, yeah, I could get an extra 10 grand if I turn my brother in, these niggas that looking for him, something like that. Or, you know what I'm saying, like, I mean, yeah, we might be on the outs, but I'm going to let him live, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean... It's whoever got your best interest at heart. That's what it is, plain and simple. And that, and like that, it don't matter where they at. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter, like, yo, if I'm in California, if I'm in Virginia, or if I'm in North Carolina, or if I'm in Oklahoma, or if I'm in Florida, or if I'm in Texas, or, and these are all places I've been and lived. It don't matter where you're at, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, in the end of the day, you know, you can call them. If it's nothing for, like, you know what I'm saying, a little conversation, a little advice, you know, looking out for you. Plain and simple. You know what I'm saying?
No, no, you should have done it. So you mean, like, if a friend, I'm trying to add this to you. I mean, I hear you say, I don't want to forget it. No, so you're telling me the best of you. So you're telling me, even if you disagree, your friend said you're a total F up, they got you hemmed up in the corner, no, you're wrong. So even though you disagree, no, saying, you know, this is for your best, this is for your good, brother. No.
Yeah.
So you're here now, no matter good or bad.
Yeah. Trying to help your best interest. That, and they ain't always going to agree with it. And they're going to sit there and say, oh, yeah, you ain't being a real friend. But, like, yo, if I know you're going to sit here and smoke up this $200 that I give you, then the fuck is the point? How am I helping you get better?
Okay. I'm glad you're listening to this later on in the show. I'm kind of following the tactic that we use on the Man Up Show. But you'll see. But, no, you're absolutely correct, and I respect that. I guess who got the mic now? Daryl or Brother Eddie?
All right, let me jump on this one. All right, the Webster Dictionary for, you know, what a friend is, a person who's attached to another by a feeling of affection or personal regard. An acquaintance is a person of knowledge or experience of something or someone. Now, my personal definition of both, your friend is somebody who you care about, who cares about you, who is going to treat you as they treat themselves. So for which, like, you come over my house, mi casa, su casa. You know,
mm-hmm.
I am completely supportive of you, your life, what you want for your life. You know, I'm your man 100 grand. If I think something's going to harm you, I'm going to be the one to tell you. If you need something, I got it, you got it. You know, I will fight with you, I will fight for you, I will cry with you, I will stand by you, I will laugh with you, I will celebrate with you, I will mourn with you. I'm your guy. Point blank. We are boys. We are people. You know, whether that be man-woman friendship, that be man-man friendship, whatever. We people, we're people. That's what we are. Now, acquaintances, this is relatively simple. I have knowledge of you. You have knowledge of me. You know who I am. If you see me, you know to say, hi, Daryl, and I'll go, hello, and, you know, to your name. And that's pretty much it. You know, I know who you are. You know, like I said, are you, like, if you go, yo, who's cooking out tonight? You know, yo, I got some stuff on the grill. BYOB, bro, roll. You know, that's what's going on. You know, so we're friends. You know, you come over to my house, I come over to yours. We'll go here, we'll go there, we'll talk about this, we'll talk about that. Hey, man, I got something going on. I just need to kick it off with somebody. You busy? Nah, I ain't busy. What's going on? I'm right here. That's a friend. An acquaintance is, you know, hey, Daryl, how you been? I've been fine. You? Good. Great. See you next time. All right. And keep going. Friend? Acquaintance. Edward.
Yo.
Edward.
Oh, man. This is, I'm really glad we're doing this, Todd, because I think these words, the word friend is thrown around entirely too much and too easily. I personally think that a friend is a chosen family member. We're born with certain family members.
Right.
But a friend is a chosen family member. And when I say that, basically what I'm saying is their only motive is what's best for you. Their motive is not what they get from you. Their motive is not what you have access to that will help them out or what have you. Their motive is, I like this person. I want what's best for this person. A friend is someone that you can tell any and everything about, and an acquaintance is just somebody, like you said, someone that just knows you, passing by. They might even know your name, and honestly, I don't even really give those people titles. But since we're going to say acquaintance, since we're going to say acquaintance and friend, those are just random people. But I also say, even though a friend is not somebody that their motive is to get something from you, just because of the love and relationship behind that friendship, they do get something from you. And I tell people that all the time. If you're the one that's always pouring into this person and they're never pouring into you, you don't ever feel fulfilled by going to converse with them, or if something happens, you don't think of them to call to get some kind of reassurance or understanding or clarity or whatever, that's not a friendship. That's community service. I tell people that all the time. If you're the one that's always pouring and doing stuff and you get nothing from it, that's not a friendship. That's community service. I volunteer to do that. I'm not going to call you. I'm not calling you my friend in doing that. I have set aside hours for volunteer work. You're not my friend if I'm doing community service with you. And that's the way I look at friendship. I should be able to talk to you about anything. I should be able to leave better than I came to you because of what you have to offer me. We both are mutually beneficial to one another, as opposed to me just you always coming to me, oh, I got another problem or what have you. And those things that you guys were referring to earlier about, well, if they come, will they come to you and say, well, you should have been there, you chose your wife or whatever. That a friend would know and understand that code that you live by that we were talking about earlier.
There wouldn't be any questioning or
anything like that when it comes to the decisions that you made, because a friend knows and understands your hierarchy in regards to your values and stuff like that. So that's what a friend is to me, as opposed to what I call a community service or a volunteer work. That's it.
Man.
Well,
y'all crazy.
Somebody's having a sound effect like the animal going live.
What happened to Sig?
Siggy, we're about to go there right now, and we're taking
her. I know she's in Germany or Greece right now, so she ain't even local wherever she at. And she was just in Spain last week.
So now introducing, speaking of friends, a world traveler, an international attorney, Eddie's attorney, our friend, Sig, you are on the line. Sweetheart, how are you?
I'm sleepy. Guys, come on now. I got a six-hour difference going on with y'all, but I'm cracking up. Now, how's everybody? I believe the gentleman's name is James. How are you? I'm sorry my brother treated you like that. That's how he is. Now,
thank you.
I'm going to say this. I'm glad it was him and not me because I'm worse. I'm going to say this. Y'all kill me because every week I find out we got some thug heads going. And that's cool. I love a man with thug heads. But y'all are killing with this ride or die thing. Some women, hold up. Some women are better shot than me. And trust me, if I'm your woman, I'm the one you want to ride out with. Okay? Not only can I handle that for you, I can get you off of that real quick. Anyway, the thing about friends, when it comes to your friends, versus your woman or your man, your first friend, if you are married or you are in that seriously committed relationship, your first friend should be that significant other, should be that spouse, should be that
That's
wife,
correct.
That husband. And in knowing your spouse, because you have great communication going on, your spouse knows what questions to ask. Your spouse can look at you when you call your boy, and they already know what's going on. There will be no question. There will be no argument. There will be no baby, but wait. That would be, let me find my bank card so I can bail their ass out of jail.
that's
what makes your wife your first friend, because she knows and she understands she's not bringing drama to your world. She understands. She understands that this is some stuff you got to handle as a man with your boys. Handle your business. I got you when you call.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I fucks with you. I don't know you,
Like, I was like, your brother didn't leave that horrible impression on me when I would have you because the fam is apparently top notch. You know what I'm saying? This is real talk. You definitely getting it, Ma, for real.
That's just the way it is. And that's the way it's going to be. Even if you, and heaven forbid, and I'm not close out of nobody living a gangster life, but of course I do have those friends.
And family members.
You got to get up, and what you're about to roll to do is that one thing that you do, I'm letting you do that. I'm not asking the questions. Again, as your friend, I'm loving you because you're mine and you're with me, and I'm still going to have your back. Take your boy with you, but know that I have your back.
Mm-hmm. Well,
keeping secrets from your wife, your woman, that significant other, is where you have problems. That's when you're going to have problems. When she starts looking at you sideways and suddenly she can't stand your voice.
That's
crazy. It's interesting that you brought that up, Sig, because I find that to be quite often, and, you know, with me coaching and stuff like that, with marriages and relationships, it's very often that the significant other is not their friend. And what I mean by that is, and I tell people that all the time, like, if you don't like your friend, your friends, I know how people say I get them in trouble. But if you don't like your male or your man's friends, or you don't like your woman's friends, you don't like your man or you don't like your woman.
Exactly, and that's
because
very true.
You are who you hang with. Now I didn't say who you are. I didn't say who your environment makes you out to be, but you are who you hang with. Meaning, who you intentionally get up and be like, yo, I'm chilling with such and such today, baby. We going the whole weekend. We traveling the world. And you like, I can't stand him because he do this, 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 and this. And your man, and he laugh when he do this, this, and this. That's because his behind do that, that, and that, too. That is a perfect mirror of who your man is. They say birds of a feather. I think it's interesting. A friend of mine, he was filling out his references for a job, and he said they were like they don't want people that you used to work with, and they don't want family members. He was like, that's weird. I would think that they would want the employees and the family members. I said, no, they want your friends, because when you put your friends up there, when they call and that voice might say, what up, nigga, leave a message, bitch, and they go to your friend's Facebook that you put out the reference, and they got 2 chains and 3 blunts and 240s on their Facebook page. They are making a decision about you based on your friends, not who is your professional people that you hang with. Because those are the people that you intentionally hang out with. So they're making a very, very, very good decision based on the references that you just put down as your people. More than likely, you're going to put your friends.
I'm missing something.
Hello?
Yeah,
hello? That's true. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Now, based on what you guys said your code was, and yeah, I got everybody's code, even though I heard everything else. Are you basing your friendships off your code, or are you accepting some people into your circle that is not living up
that
to your code?
That don't have your code.
That's exactly what I'm
saying.
That's an excellent question. I love that question.
You know, I agree with you. I think that that's perfect, because to have a good friendship circle of people that's around you, they got to have some of the same code that you have. I strongly believe that. I mean, for whatever reason, call it chemistry, like the people on the team or something like that. Sig, that was a great point right there. I agree.
You might not have
to answer your question, Sig.
Yeah, go ahead.
To answer your question, if I'm living by my code, those who are added to my circle won't have no choice but to be people who live by the code, because through the discernment from my relationship with God, he's pretty much going to tell me not to be around that person. Through my relationship with my family, they're probably it's not gonna align with what I got going on in my household for me to add you in. through my work ethic and all that stuff, all that stuff is going to pretty much dictate who I end up being surrounded by in the first place, which in turn, if those people align with my lifestyle and where I what I do, more than likely you won't even be around me to be added to that circle or even be considered somebody that can be added. But at the same token, I'm glad you brought that up too, because a friend is not something that is forced or looked for. It happens. A lot of people try to force friendships. That you can't do that. A friendship happens. Other things can be forced, but a friendship happens. It's not, you don't really have a checklist or whatever. You just notice or realize, come to the realization that, dang, this joker really has my back. Dang, this joker really aligns with my spirit or whatever. I'm receptive to them or what have you. So a lot of people, I know people try to force friendships, but that just happens. And if you're aligned or you really have a system in place for how you live your life, more than likely, the only way that that person will be able to cross paths with you is if they align with your values. But that's just my personal opinion. So, yes, the people that are in my circle who I consider friends are, they do align with my beliefs and everything like that, my code, if you will.
Let me just add in on this one. Absolutely. I mean, we might have different ways to getting to the same point. We might not take the same exact route, your core principles, you have to share the same core principles, because if not, you have nothing in common. If you're not going to the same place and you're not going in the same direction, there's no way for you to share the journey. If you're not, I don't think that you could go, let's say we're all trying to get from New York to California. If we're all trying to get to New York to California, somebody might drive, someone might take the train, someone might take the plane, but all our goal is to get to California. But if somebody's trying to get to California, somebody's trying to get to London, somebody's trying to get to Florida, someone's trying to go to the North Pole, we're going all over the map. We're not sharing the journey. We're not going to the same place. We're not aiming for the same destination. So we don't have anything in common. We just happen to be at the same point in the storm at this moment. We're acquaintances.
I don't know, D. I don't particularly think I can co-sign on that, on the strength of, you know, then you're talking about, you're not talking about friends or acquaintances. You're talking about coworkers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, your friends, like, I mean, like, yeah, on a professionally, whatnot, what have you, you and your friends may not have the same thing in common. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you might be hetero, your friend might be gay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, we may not always, like, it doesn't really have to be about what we have in common, because, like, as long as we have respect in common, I don't particularly think that there should be any one way that any, that, you know what I'm saying, that you can view anybody, because most of the best people that I've met in my life are people that I've known for probably about 6 years now. You know what I'm saying? And it's well documented that I'm 31. So, you know, friends I've made out in California, friends I've made out in Texas. I mean, people that I know that I contact, that I text them once in a while. You know, just catch up on with them, make sure that they're doing all right, Facebook them, make sure, hey, like, you know what I'm saying, like, what's going on with your mom, situations that I know of, and things that they tell me. You know what I'm saying? People that are just there for you. And so, like, it doesn't particularly matter what you have in common. I really don't feel that, because it's that no offense, but I kind of feel like that's a problem with society. Like, we're all worried about what we have in common without worrying about, you know what I'm saying, the things that we don't have in common. We embrace what we have in common without embracing what we don't have in common. You know what I'm saying? And our differences is really what makes us beautiful and unique. You know what I'm saying? It's what makes us human. It's what guides us. And just because, like, yeah, you might be, you know what I'm saying, out there on the streets, and I'm over here working at a 500, you know what I'm saying, a Fortune 500 company, that doesn't mean I still can't care about you, and I still can't love you, and I still can't, you know, like, whatever I can within reasonable means in your best interest, I'm going to do.
Okay, but okay, no. Now, I disagree with all y'all.
Woo!
Yeah. Every last
bring
one
on.
Of you.
Bring it on.
Let
bring
me
on.
Tell you why. Because whereas I do have my code that I live by, I know that I am also twisted. I am very twisted, and I have a quick temper. I look for friends who have a code higher than mine. They give me something to aspire to. They give me a goal to reach. People who are on my level are going to keep me on my level, and I need constant growth in my life. So whereas, yes, I do have friends from all walks of life, and they all have values, and they all start off with the same basic code. You have to have some type of code for me. But they also bring something to the table that makes me go, I can grow for myself just from being with this person, and that's how that person became my friend. I don't have a lot of friends. I have very few friends. I have less than 10 friends, for real. Anybody else? I'm like Eddie. I don't even call them acquaintances. They're just people that think they know my name. As far as the differences, I agree with you, because we have to embrace the differences in people. Now, just because I'm whatever I am sexually and they're whatever they are sexually, that doesn't mean we don't carry the same code. It just means we get in the bed, we're walking in two different directions. Maybe. Correct. Don't know. So that's the difference to me, as far as that. I embrace everybody and their differences, because I love people who think differently than I do, because, like I said, my thoughts are twisted. I need to surround myself with somebody that can help me straighten them out. So that's why I disagree with you guys.
Like, you need a therapist. Don't worry about it. You're not the only one. Trust me.
Excuse me. No, wait a minute. Excuse me. I don't need a therapist. I have two. Hello? I have two.
Two.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
You're doing better than me, sweetheart. I have none. All right, can I have one? You have one that's there.
I will set you up an appointment, because I feel like you might need one. Everybody needs a therapist.
I do.
Everybody does, because you need
that
somebody
talking
to bounce them off. Seriously. So, and that's what it's about. For me, it's personal growth. I need friends that's going to enhance my personal growth, always.
Well, I have friends, and then I have people that are in my circle that intentionally I seek them, or I hang around them for growth. They might not necessarily be my friend. That could be a mentor of mine or something like that. But I definitely have people in my life that I intentionally seek their counsel or their mentoring or tutelage so that I could become or be a better person, people that have what I aspire to have. And that could even be done via a book. They might not even know they're my mentor. I might just pay attention to the things that they do and study their work to what have you to grow. But as far as me considering somebody a friend, I don't have many friends. Matter of fact, most of my friends are family members. I don't really have – I probably have maybe three that aren't family members that I consider a friend. Matter of fact, this is a very touchy topic for a lot of people. I have people that have been in my life for 12 years, 13 years, 15 years, and they'll say that I'm their friend, and I'll correct them if they introduce me as their friend. And I'm quick to correct somebody when they tell somebody that that I'm their friend or something like that. I mean, or they're my friend. I put it this way: I'm a friend to many, but I have few friends. Their definition of what a friend is, I am to them. But my definition of what a friend is, they are not to me. So you can be someone else's friend and not consider them your friend. And with that being said, there's a lot of people that just get so frustrated and upset. How you gonna say we're not friends? I know you for such and such years and but you don't fit the depiction of a friend to me. I can't come and talk to you about anything. You don't have, like you said, you don't have any information that I would come to you and be like, yo, I got this dilemma. Can you figure it out? Because I don't think you really carry the mental capacity to solve the problems that I'm dealing with. The stuff that you come up with, I don't really look at as really problems. I just share you with you my thoughts, and we go from there. But, again, that's more of me pouring and never receiving anything back. And I'm okay with having people in my life that I do that. But again, that's not a friendship. Again, that's community service. And I'm not really about calling you my friend just because you said that I am. And I stress that. It's kind of like the L word and the T word, love and trust. I don't just put that on anybody. That's not something I play with. Friend, love, and trust, very sensitive words.
For me, even when I was a kid, this is why I say my mind is twisted. To be my friend in Chicago, you went to school from September to June. You were my friend from September to June. The first day
you sound like my daughter.
The first day of summer, you showed up and tried to be my friend. I was mad at you. I wasn't a person who was on the phone. If they called my house and asked to speak to me, I would go, who gave you my number? That's who you meant to call. I didn't give out my number. I didn't believe in friends because I didn't. Friendships were, I wasn't too trusting of people as a kid.
No.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
No, I had no reason not to be, but it was like, I don't want everybody to be my friend. I don't need no friends. I got 50 million sisters and brothers. I don't even like them. So,
yeah.
and one young lady, she's my friend to this day. I love her to death, Mina. She, when we went to school, I told her in the summer we won't be friends. Beginning of summer, we'll be friends. That heifer had the nerve to show up at my house 8 o'clock the first day of summer. I said, what are you doing? We're not friends. She said, I'm not playing that game with you. We have been friends since 8th grade because of that.
Mm.
But it's just I'm not real easy to say, hey, you're my friend, because I'm like Eddie, friend, trust, love, that don't mean jack to anybody today. It's just something to say to get what you want for that moment.
Yeah.
So how about, you know, just stop dealing with all the labels. I mean, what you is what you is. You know what I'm saying? Just somebody I know. Like, now with the intensity in which I know you and the way that our relationship goes, that solely depends on, you know what I'm saying, how you treat me, how I treat you, and respect, and, you know what I'm saying, figuring everything else out. But as far as, like, labels and, like, oh, yeah, you're my friend. Oh, you're my BFF. Oh, you're my bestie. You know what I'm saying? All that other shit. I mean, come on, man. I don't know. It seems really childish to me, because if you're going to beat it, you're going to beat it. If you ain't going to beat it, you ain't going to beat it. If you care about this person and just, you know what I'm saying, if they're alive and if everything's good with them, if they're, like, having a good one, then you're going to care. If you're not, you're not. Boom.
But it's one thing to care about humanity within itself. It's one thing to care. I can't stand you as a person, but if I can help you 2 seconds later, I'm going to help you because I care about the human name.
Are we all brothers and sisters in Christ?
We
deeper than friends. Like, we deeper than friends. We all brothers and sisters in Christ. So, like, real talk.
And like I just said,
I can't
stand my siblings, so we're not going to go there.
Yeah. But I think it is imperative that we define what a friend or an acquaintance is, because there's so many people that are making poor decisions because of the assumption that they do have friends and acquaintances. And I think that's why I felt it needed to be discussed as to what a friend or an acquaintance is on this show, because there's so many people that are making decisions or thinking that people are their friends when ultimately they're not. We talk, and it's sometimes that people think the ideology of family is incorrect too. So we probably need to do that. We probably need to define that on another show. But just to call people your friends, I deal with that with my children all the time. To where now she's like, okay, that's my class buddy, and I got her slowly thinking about stuff, because just to throw that word friend around is not something that I think is acceptable, because that is, if you're saying that everybody is your friend, then that for one, that takes away the value of people who truly are your friend, and it really takes away and dilutes the potency that comes with a friendship or somebody that really cares or really has your best interest at heart. So just to throw it around and say you are what you are, that's just not something I'm willing to do or accept.
And you know, I can completely understand that, but at the same time, like, you know, to sit there and say, oh, like, this person right here, like, I mean, when people come into your life, people come into your life for a reason. They come into your life because, you know what I'm saying, for whatever reason. God got a plan for you and them, even if it's just to teach you a lesson or something like that. And so, it's like you're equating friendship with, like, love, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the difference between loving somebody and being in love with somebody. You know what I mean? So, it really feels strange that, like, you know what I'm saying, like, oh, well, you know what I'm saying, like, you're my friend. Like that is for kids, but not what have you. That is for children. But as we grow up and as we become adults, I mean, who's going to be there? Who's there? Like, say you want to touch all the people that want to listen to the radio, listen to the show, right? Like, they've heard, like, all of our explanations, including your sisters, as to what everyone feels a friend is and feels what, like, you know what I'm saying? And honestly, you all basically have the same thing. Like, those people who's there for you, people who care about you, people who, it's a mutual respect. It's a mutual affection for you, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, and there's signs that show you and tell you who got your back and who don't. Like, you can always tell. If you look for it, you can always tell who got your back and who don't.
Yeah, but that can't come.
Those over there.
But that can come with some falsities, too. You get those people that agree with you and co-sign on everything you say. They're not your friend.
That's not your
friend. They're not your friend. They just somebody that just want to ride your tip.
And that's,
I don't need
and that's one of those and that's one of those signs that you ain't got one of your real people with you. They're signs that tell you who's real, who ain't. Like, yo.
But still,
like,
but like okay, everybody. Everybody crosses your path for a reason, but that doesn't mean that they stay. It doesn't mean they get to be an acquaintance. It doesn't mean they get to be a friend. It means they came for that reason, that will be dealt with, and then we move on.
That's right.
It's not necessarily a friend forged and stone or anything like that.
And if
it's just something
that
happened.
If those signs help you to come to a conclusion, that means that there is a definition of a friendship or an acquaintance. If you're saying that there are signs that will tell you certain things, that means that those signs are defining something for you. And that's what I'm trying to help people understand, that there is a definition of what you would call a friend as opposed to someone that's an acquaintance or just someone that's around or what have you. I mean, and people need to understand that so that they can make better decisions, because the minute you call somebody a friend is the minute you're willing to do so many things for them, or just assume that they have your best interests at heart and do what it is that they want for them or for you. So,
which is why you don't call anybody your friend. Like, yo, that's just someone I know. Like, really, you my peoples, you my peoples. If I hold you close, if you close to my heart, you know you close to my heart. If you're not, you're not. You know what I'm saying? So it's like friend, no friend, bestie, whatever you want to call it. Like, if you got my back and I got your back, and guess what? We rock. We gonna go handle whatever needs to be handled. I'm gonna be in your corner. I'm gonna give you the advice that you need. The advice that you need too, not the advice that you want. You're right. Who likes the yes man? Like, and nobody wants somebody to sit there and kiss your ass. Where the drama at? Where's the fun at? You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I love going back and forth on the stuff. It's a challenge. You know what I'm saying? Your friends is gonna challenge you. Those who really got the best interest in heart will always challenge you. And it's like, yo, you ain't got to call them your friend. That's the thing. You ain't got to call your friends, because they just know what it is. You ain't got to call them your friends. You just got to call them. Like, yo. Yo, hey, what's good? You know what I'm saying? I need you for something. Got you. Nothing.
Well, in the end, I know I'm a friend to everybody I encounter myself with. But I'm aware that not everyone is a friend to me. I, even in the beginning of the show, was being and still am being a friend to you on the air. The way you received my friendship was not necessarily something that was receptive, and it was through disagreements or what have you. But I still consider myself to intentionally attempt to be a friend towards you in my approach and even now. But, again, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm a friend to you.
But you kind of just reversed what you said earlier, because you're like, I'm a friend to many, but not many are a friend to me. Now you're like, I'm a friend to everybody, and you just reversed everything you said. Dude, I don't like somebody I know. Like, because I honestly, it's like, I don't know you from a can of paint, bro. Like, we never sat down, we never kicked it. I don't even know what you look like. Like, we've never kicked it or anything else like that. But at the same time, through this interaction, honestly, I got respect for you because me, because you know what I'm saying? We went toe-to-toe, and I respect anybody that goes toe-to-toe with me. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know you to call your friend or anything else like that. It's just like, yo, you're somebody I know.
And I'm glad you said that, because that is what helps me define what a friend is. I don't have to know you to come at you in a place from love, a love and just wanting the best from you. It doesn't have to be time that passes by for me to want what's best for you. I don't know who's listening to this show, but I guarantee you that I love them as if they were they're a friend, and I love them like a friend, and I love them with the intent of having their best interests at heart. It doesn't take time for me to come to that conclusion. I don't care who you are. I always want the best for people, and I know, and I base my decision about allowing you into my circle as a friend on that. Are you carrying those same kind of things, or does it take for me to do something for you to conclude that I'm your friend? Those are the things that makes me make my decision or define someone as a friend or not a friend. So I'm glad that you brought that to light, because that does clarify what it is that I'm trying to say in regards to friendships. It doesn't take time for me to come to that to be a friend to someone. It doesn't take time for you to for me to listen to you and hear what you say to say that I want to have the best outcomes and stuff in life for you. It doesn't take much. At all. I am intentionally a friend to all people that I come across. They might not like my style of friendship, but in the end, the intent is for them to be the best person that I know that they can be, whether that be communication-wise, just their heart or respect or what have you. It's going to always come from a place of, I want what's best for you. I notice this might be something that could hinder you and your growth for you or where you might end up, and I'm going to try my best to show you through love and being honest like a friend would do, something that I think you could take from this interaction or this short time that we have with each other and prayerfully plant a seed that is going to help you to harvest into something great.
Exactly. Eddie, you know what? I love you, dude. Love you.
Okay. Love you too, man.
I want to say something. Okay, all this love. Can we get love off the table for a second? I want to say something. A friend is not a person that constantly comes at me combative. A friend makes me think. A friend makes me take pause. A friend is going to say, I'm going to say, guess what, Eddie? I'm going to raise dolphins in my backyard. A friend is going to say, it's some retarded thing I saw online. Leave me alone. A friend is going to be like, big hell, no, you're not raising dolphins in your backyard. And it's not about arguing with me or going toe-to-toe with me. It's just making me realize that's the dumbest idea I've had today. That's what a friend is. If a person comes at me where everything I say, they're going to turn into an argument, two things are going to happen. I'm going to get pissed off. I'm going to make them my damn secretainment. We're never going to be friends.
Exactly.
I'm going to always go after the jugular with them to prove that they're just stupid and because I can.
Exactly.
And you can make me think and make me say, okay, raising dolphins in my backyard is a dumbass idea. And we can laugh about it in the end, and I respect what you had to say, and there was no argument. That's what a friend will do for me. If you're going to just come at me and go, that's the stupidest damn thing you ever heard of, hold up, you ain't heard my damn plan. I might know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I might have a real idea.
I got to say, though, if you come and tell me that you're blowing dolphins in your backyard, I'm going to walk away because we apparently do not have the same pose. Like, I mean, if that really runs across your mind,
wait a minute, hold up, why? You're number one. You don't know how big my backyard is. I can raise dolphins in my backyard as far as you know. My backyard can be the ocean.
Okay. Wow, beachfront pocket. Nice.
And see, you will never be my friend because you just walked away and you're going to let me raise some damn dolphins in my backyard.
Well, if I'm calling you my friend, then we've been friends for a while now and you apparently lost your freaking mind.
Okay, and then as my friend, then you can tell me, Sig, you just lost your mind. I mean,
I'm going to call you from a safe distance.
I'm just walking away. Like, I'm getting away from a crazy person.
No.
I'm going to call you.
No.
Like, hey,
no.
What you doing? Like,
well,
nah. Let me go and correct you on that, bro, because if you ain't her friend, you ain't calling her at all. You will not have her number.
We're already friends. In this scenario, we're already friends.
If we're already friends, then you know that you don't have to walk a safe distance away. Only an acquaintance would feel they need to walk a safe distance away.
A true friend
is going to, like, actually get in my face and probably threaten to lift me up off the ground and shake me and be like, you lost your mind.
Yeah, I'm not that guy. I'm not, like, I don't touch other people like that. Like, you know, if I don't, like, I'm not that person. Like, I won't touch people. Like, I'm weird. I'm very, very weird. But if I put my hands on a woman, oh, we smash. Plain and simple. I don't put my hands on a woman for any other means. That's why I walk away and I give you.
You have no female friends. I'm sorry.
I have tons of female friends. Now I give them a hug when I have you, but other than that,
did you
know,
said,
like, nah.
Pause. Did you just say you don't touch nobody unless it's a smash, and then turn around less than 20 seconds later and say you give them a hug?
Yeah, that's because that's nothing.
Okay, wait a minute.
Why is everybody like that? I mean, we're talking about. It's all like she was. Well, her description was smashing someone was like, you know, saying she could smash me up, pull me off my feet when I was at it. I don't.
No, like well, I say that because you have to know I'm only 5'2". Most of my friends are taller, way taller than I am. They always pick me up. Listen, that's a topic: male female friendship. Apparently, he can't handle a real one. Anyway.
Wow. That insulting thing just runs in the family now, don't it? Oh, goodness. Ed, we just, Ed, me and you, we was cool for a second. Like, I can't, I gotta get on
see,
the same page.
Clearly, we couldn't have been cool for a second because you would know that I don't like being called Ed. You're already messing up. You're messing up. I can't stand it.
Wait
so,
a second. Hey,
nah,
that's the
campaign.
Y'all. Like, I don't know if y'all from a campaign. Like, come on, man. Now y'all just being difficult.
No, it's not about being difficult. Can you not handle difficult? Because
I can handle anything, sweetheart. I can handle anything. Trust me.
I don't know. This show is on time. We still have the beginning.
Exactly. Matter of fact,
what happened?
I can't wait to go to sleep.
Yeah, and I'm if you're gonna get there, but that's the thing. I'm not gonna tolerate disrespect. Sorry.
Nash, let's wrap it up, baby.
No doubt.
code is just a set of standards, ethics that you live by. Just who you are, your DNA, your moral fabric. That's to me code, who you are, identifies who you are all around the board. Friends, I don't like to use the term friends. If I call you a friend, 9 times out of 10, I mean your family. That means your family. So
if
you're my friend, you're family. So I don't like the word friend because I'm not with that. Acquaintance, you are what you are. I mean, if I really don't know you, and probably if I don't acknowledge you, then you just testing the wind as far as I'm concerned. You know, if somebody really, hey, what's up, man? Cool. Do I know you? It's no disrespect, I just don't know you. It's not that I want to get to know you, it's just that you don't interest me, I don't interest you, and let's keep it moving. That's it. I mean, there's no dollar sign behind it. You know, I really don't know you. So, friends and family to me, acquaintance, no disrespect to anybody. You know, if you're not around, I don't really know you. I just don't know you, you just don't interest me. That's it.
Wow.
That's it for me, man. It's all good, brother. That's me.
There.
Well, all right. Let me throw in my two bones on this one. Like I said, I think everybody here pretty much summed it up. That, you know, friends sometimes, like I said, everybody throws that word around very loosely. It's entirely too common. But those who are really your friends, you're pretty much talking. They're your selected family. Those are the people that chose to bring into your heart and into your life, and you in their lives and they're in yours. Like I said, it's good times, it's bad times. It's just running with one another, for one another, and that's what it's pretty much about. And as far as acquaintances, like I said, it's just, you know, people that you know, people that you see. You know, you wish them the best, you hope what's best for them, but necessarily involved, you know, to that extent in their life. So that, to me, is the difference between the two. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think we pretty much wrapped it up. I mean, it's one heck of a show. James, is there anything that you want to talk about or address real fast before we go off the air? Anything that you're doing? Anything coming up?
No, I just got my show Monday night at Marvel's, and I'm going to be performing at 8 o'clock, Marvel's on Lions Avenue in Irvington, New Jersey. But past that, you know what I'm saying? Still got the Twisted Face showcase. That's on hiatus right now, but you know what I'm saying? Hopefully, if everything works out, I'll be able to tell you a little bit more about that later. Can you dig it?
Okay. All right. So that's Marlo's. That's the first Monday, right?
Yeah, that's this Monday.
Okay, that's what's good.
I had a great time with the Wonder Twins over there, and you guys have been it's been a pleasure. It really has.
Well, thank you very much. Gentlemen, this has been one heck of a show. let's say good night, folks, because this show is just about over.
Good night, everyone. God bless.
Good night. Have a great week.
Be safe.
And
everybody have a blessed one. The Van Up Show is now done. Everybody have a great night. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Bye.